So the federal government's promising Australians we will be among the first in the world to receive this COVID-19 vaccine from Oxford University under a deal done with that UK pharmaceutical giant. Phil Khoury standing by. Hi, Phil.
Good morning, Fran.
Phil, this deal with AstraZeneca, developing their Oxford University vaccination, will this put to bed, do you think, the opposition's criticisms of the government that has been too slow off the mark to, when it comes to investing in vaccine research and striking these supply deals?
Oh, perhaps so. I did note it is the announcement today is just a letter of intent rather than the thing's been signed, sealed and delivered, but the government says that's just a formality. They're negotiating on price and distribution and so forth, but they're saying there's no prospect of this thing not happening. So I guess until it is across the line, the opposition may continue to poke at them, but you know, it's up to them. I haven't heard any reaction so far, but I think it was on your show last week, wasn't it? Chris Bowen was out there saying
yes.
The government's been slow off the mark on this. There's been quite a bit of criticism. So overall, it is good news. I mean, I think it gives us all a bit of cause for hope that there may be an end in sight to this thing.
Yeah, and it's not the only deal they're looking at making, because as the Prime Minister says, there's no guarantee this vaccine will be successful. So they're going to look at deals with other vaccine platforms as well, including, of course, UQ. Phil, on the other issue of the morning, we heard from the Agriculture Minister, David Littleproud, Australian winemakers, the latest target in China's sights. The Minister wouldn't buy into any political motivation. But what do you think? Is this purely a trade dispute?
Oh, no, it's just political, Fran. I mean, the government can't say it. You can say it, we can say it, but they can't say it, but not publicly at least. But this is just a carbon copy of what they did on barley a couple of months ago, the Chinese. They sort of trumped up some anti-dumping allegations, had a sort of, you know, investigation, quotation marks, and then whacked massive tariffs on barley. This stems back to the Huawei decision and the foreign interference legislation, and more recently unhappiness with the calls for an inquiry into the outbreak of the virus. And you remember the Chinese ambassador a month or so ago, an interview with my colleague Andrew Tillett, you know, basically said this is what was going to happen, and he actually listed wine as a potential target. So everyone's pretty angry and upset, but they're not surprised. But you've just sort of got to go through the motions and treat this thing as if it's serious when they know it's not. But the government will continue its strategy of playing each issue as if it is a meritorious argument and try and argue it on the merits, which is very difficult when the case is pretty non-existent.
Yeah, and we heard David Littleproud there saying he's got his hand outstretched, even though his calls aren't being taken either. Just finally, the workplace negotiations between the government and the unions are progressing quietly behind the scenes. You've written this morning there's some hope of a deal on enterprise bargaining. Would that mean coming up with some solution to this better off overall test, the boot test?
That's the rule of all the five roundtables, Fran. This one's the big juicy one. Look, the business community is mildly confident. The unions, the labour movement, are not so much, because it would, you know, going back to the no disadvantage test. I mean, which makes sense in a number of ways, but they're sort of wary about anything that would potentially leave anyone worse off, even if there's a greater dividend for the workplace. So I don't know, to be honest. It's being held very tightly. It's very hard to get information out of it. They're all being confidential. But ultimately, this would have to come to Parliament, and it doesn't really matter what the ACTU thinks. It matters what the Labor Party thinks. And there's a difference of views in Labor. I spoke to one front bench yesterday, said they should be flexible on this boot test and go back to Keating's test, or at least give the Industrial Relations Commissioner more powers to interpret the boot test so it's not so robust. And because everyone agrees enterprise agreement system is broken, both sides agree, but what you do to fix it, and that's where the sticking point is, but we'll know soon enough.
Yeah, well, it'll emerge in the open any time now, I'd imagine. Phil, thanks very much.
Terrific. Bye.
Phil Khoury is political editor with the Financial Review.